From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Howard. The State Department says four U.S. military aircraft are helping to repatriate foreigners trying to flee Libya. Two Marine KC-130 aircraft are carrying 132 Egyptians to Cairo after they crossed the border from Libya into Tunisia. Two additional Air Force C-130s are also expected to evacuate more Egyptian nationals. The government says it is also contributing $3 million to the International Organization for Migration to help thousands of other foreign nationals who have crossed into Tunisia from Libya. There were especially bloody battles today in the western Libyan city of Zawiya. It's difficult to get a full picture since most Western journalists have been locked out of the area, but reports suggest at least several dozen people were killed by government forces. NPR's David Green, who's monitoring the situation from across the border in Tunisia, says residents in the city describe a government massacre.
Witnesses in Zawiya say Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's government forces brought tanks into the streets, determined not to let rebels dig in. While Western journalists have been reporting on events in Libya's east, in and around Benghazi, Gaddafi has mostly kept reporters out of the West. Britain's Sky News, one of few Western news outlets in Zawiya, quoted a doctor in the city who said he was taking injured residents to the hospital when tanks or snipers fired on his ambulance. The doctor said 16 people were killed by government forces in Zawiya's main square, and he said a dozen others died after arriving at a hospital. Gaddafi's government, meanwhile, released footage of Zawiya on state TV to claim their tanks had taken firm control of the city center. Zawiya lies between the Tunisian border and Tripoli, the Libyan capital. Tripoli would be more vulnerable if Gaddafi lost Zawiya to the rebels. David Green, NPR News, Zarzis, Tunisia.
Egypt's much-reviled former interior minister is on trial on corruption charges. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson says in Cairo he's pleaded not guilty to money laundering and profiteering.
Habib al-Adli appeared in white prison clothes during the short court session where he declared his innocence. The trial was adjourned until next month to give defense lawyers more time to study evidence against their client. Outside the courthouse, protesters shouted that the former interior minister deserved the death penalty for all the people his security forces killed during the popular revolt. He is being investigated for ordering the shootings and creating a security vacuum across Egypt. Police are still largely absent from the streets of Egypt, which has led to a large crime wave. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
President Obama says he is willing to agree to deeper cuts in his proposed federal budget in order to reach an agreement with Republicans. Mr. Obama made his comments in his weekly radio address, but without offering specifics as to where he might make those cuts. In the GOP response, Tennessee Representative Dianne Black criticized what she called the lack of a White House plan to tackle out-of-control spending. This past week, lawmakers on Capitol Hill reached an agreement with the White House on a short-term spending plan to keep the federal government open until March 18. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. There are news reports from Russia that an Antonov 148 airliner has crashed while on a test flight about 350 miles south of Moscow. At least six people on board are dead, including the two pilots from Myanmar. The Myanmar Air Force is reportedly planning to buy two of the planes. It is not known if the plane involved in the crash was to be delivered as part of that order. The astronauts aboard the International Space Station are having a busy day of maintenance chores. NPR's Allison Keyes tells us the Space Shuttle Discovery is nearly finished with its latest mission.
Come back to Texas. It's not the same since you went away.
The six Discovery astronauts got a rousing wake-up song chosen by their families before starting a day including everything from fixing the space station's air systems to taking out the trash. They, along with the six other astronauts at the station, are loading a supply ship with packing foam from all of the equipment brought up by Discovery. That will eventually include the materials used to pack the first humanoid robot in space, known as R2. It tweeted that it would have a good view of all the work going on if it wasn't still packed in a windowless box. Allison Keyes, NPR News.
West Virginia's two Democratic senators and the daughter of America's longest living World War I veteran are asking that he be allowed to lie in honor in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda in Washington. Frank Buckles died February 27th at the age of 110. Since his death, politicians have been debating the best way to honor the Charlestown, West Virginia resident and the rest of the 4.7 million Americans who served during the First World War. There are 62 dog sled teams in Anchorage, Alaska, getting ready to set off tomorrow on the annual Iditarod race to Nome. This is NPR News in Washington.